You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game edition with analyst Richard Pollock and your host, Drew Mindell. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game edition. I'm Mike Remus, joined with Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manouk. Regular host Drew Mindell is out of town, and regular analyst Richard Pollock is doing the 1290 postgame. Quite a game today for the Jets. It was a bit of a come down after Saturday's Solani Palooza, Timu Palooza. I think Ezra coined that one. You know, a Tuesday night crowd, not quite as lively. The booing wasn't there. You know, not quite the draw with the Islanders. I think this was one of the games that season ticket holders, you know, would have sold the game. Not quite a draw. So the Jets started off, you know, I thought they got off to a great start. They had a few chances in the first 5 minutes. Andrei Pavlich stood on his head for quite some time, making save after save. And then the first goal was scored at 8:17 of the first period by P.A. Parenteau on a great pass cross-crease from Molson and John Tavares. Pavlich just couldn't get across for that one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Reem. I think that the Jets were lucky to escape the first 4 or 5 minutes not having been scored on, and Pavlik was amazing. And then Parenteau got that first goal from a nice little pass from Matt Molson, and you know, Pavlik really was the story of this game. He was the best player. He got a star tonight along with Nikolai Antropov, who got that first goal for the Jets, and I guess we'll talk about that in a second. But the Islanders, you know, they came out playing the way they wanted to come out in the first period. Great way to start on the road. You know, they were controlling the play, the shots. It was a bit of a slow start to the game. We had that amazing hit by Mark Stewart of the Jets. I forget who it was on. And then Mark Stewart and Kyle Loposo ended up getting matching roughing penalties. It was more of a fight. But it was a pretty entertaining game. The first period started off really slow. And the Jets did end up getting a point here tonight, but it wasn't the prettiest way to get a point.
No, I mean, it clearly wasn't. The reality is, when you watch this game, if it wasn't for Pavlik, the game could have been a 10-1 Islanders win. He stood on his head from the outset. The team, you know, we spoke after the game with team captain Andrew Ladd, and he said that, you know, they had way too many breakdowns. And there were. I mean, I don't know how many in that first period. And Pavlik said it too. He said that you just can't allow that to happen. And I mean, how many two-on-one chances did they have that, you know, a stick here, a stick there, it would have been easy. The Jets were down 4-5-1 after the first period, and so he made some nice saves. The defense did get some sticks in the way to block some shots, but if not for Pavlik, the game could have been gone. They're lucky that they escaped with 1 point.
Right, Dave, and the first period was the only period where the Islanders outshot the Jets. But that line of John Tavares, P.A. Parenteau, and Matt Molson, you could argue was the best line, you know, from either two teams. And, you know, we'd have to say that the second line tonight really carried the Jets. I mean, obviously, Andrew Ladd and Nick Antropov got the two goals. But the first line with Alexander Burmistrov replacing Brian Little in the first game, he struggled all night. They obviously didn't have as much confidence. Evander Kane didn't have a very good game, and he continues to struggle. I think it's been 4 or 5 games now that he hasn't had a goal. But, that line was really good, and Andrei Pavlik really kept them in there. And even though this game could have gone either way, as far as I'm concerned, the shootout is a coin flip, right? The Islanders ended up coming out on top, and this is another type of game where the Jets are going to just have to forget it, because coming up, Montreal and Pittsburgh on Thursday and Friday night to wrap up this homestand, that's two tough games. Back-to-back, and they're going to have to start focusing on that right away.
I think you hit it right on the head, though. With that second line was great for the Jets. They had a couple of defensive lapses, but overall, they played a really solid game. And it's clear what the return of Nick Antropov at center does for that line. It allows, I mean, Kyle Wellwood is always saying that it gives him, Antropov's size gives him the room that he needs to be able to do the things he does. And so you're watching, you know, Wellwood, and people say he passes too often, and we talk about his high shooting percentage because he generally, you know, only shoots when he has a really good opportunity to score. But, you know, clearly it's when you watch the way Antropov gives Ladd room, gives Wellwood room, he just he brings that line together. And so when you watch those three guys play, they just have a natural sort of chemistry that the Jets can't afford not to have, because they need that, especially as, like you said, when the first line isn't playing particularly well, that second line for the Jets is absolutely necessary.
I would agree, actually, that the top line tonight was, in fact, the Antropov, Ladd, Wellwood line. And, you know, the Jets, the story of the game for the Jets was missing Brian Little. They didn't have that speed, and they didn't have, you know, the ability to have Burmistrov on the third line. But the first goal for the Jets, they tied it up 18 minutes in. Antropov wins the faceoff, passes to Oduya, takes a shot, and Antropov tips it in between the legs of goalie Al Montoya. And it was a goal that kind of reminded me of the goal from last game that Bogosian scored. It was a face-off, clean face-off win in the offensive zone by the Jets. Defenseman takes a slap shot, and the goal trickles in between the opposing goaltender's legs.
The story of the game really is that the Jets didn't have a tremendous number of opportunities to win. You know, like they really didn't. They didn't have they didn't have nearly as many scoring opportunities as the Islanders did, and they squandered a lot of chances. Like you know, guys like Wheeler and Wellwood. It was funny because Wellwood, who more often than not will pass rather than shoot, had an opportunity early, I think, or late in the first period, and shot instead of passing, and I think it was a wide open either Ladd or Andropov, right just to the left of Montoya, and missed that opportunity because he took a very low percentage shot, which for him is quite surprising. So you know, the Jets, I mean, they scored on that. You know, we weren't sure initially if Ladd had scored that goal or Andropov, and then Richard had noticed right away that it was Andropov, got the tip, and it was a nice tip, and it was a nice, you know, a nice redirection, and also a nice shot by Oduya, who also I didn't think had a particularly strong game. I thought he was, you know, he'd been playing better of late, but today was not one of his stronger games, I didn't think.
Yeah, Johnny Oduya was beat a couple of times there, and you know, that's been the case. Unfortunately, a few times this season, but I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what happened in the second period with Evander Kane and Al Montoya, right? So I guess, Reem, are we going to talk about that a little bit now?
Okay, sure. Let's go. We'll go to the second period. So that was Antropov tying the game up in the second period.
Actually, hold on one sec.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to quickly touch on, because we briefly mentioned it, was the Stewart forced fight with Okpozo. It drives me crazy. And Mark Stewart, it has no problems obliging Okpozo and going, you know, toe to toe with him, if you will. But like, I watched the hit, and I thought to myself,
it was a clean hit.
Absolutely a clean hit.
Well, let's talk about the hit here. The Islander player is rushing the puck up. He chips. It was Nielsen. He chips the puck around Stewart, and then he's really nowhere near the puck. He's skating after it, and then Stewart. Stewart gives him a clean hit.
There's no question. Stewart actually said that, and you'll hear the audio later, but Stewart essentially said that he saw that he was vulnerable, didn't try and take him out, hit him shoulder to shoulder, and it was a clean hit. There's no question.
Right.
And what bothers me about the NHL nowadays is that, you know, you see a clean hit like that, and I understand what the Islanders are thinking. I understand what Okpozo's thinking. He's thinking that could be a momentum shifter. If he allows it to go unchallenged, then what happens is the Jets could, you know, get some momentum from that and put the pressure on the Islanders. So what does he do to kind of kill that drive? He challenges Stewart to a fight. And they, you know, have a 30-second useless tussle, and they both end up in the penalty box.
Right.
You know, 2 minutes each for roughing. We play 4-on-4. But, like, it's frustrating to watch, because I have no problems with fighting, you know, if need be, but like that kind of stuff where on a clean hit is just unnecessary in my mind.
Right. You can make the argument that fight wasn't necessary, and it, like you said, actually killed the momentum. That's two games in a row that Mark Stewart has gone into a fight. As you'll remember, last game he fought George Parros in what was clearly a mismatch, and Parros basically threw him around for a little bit. But I think overall, this was a pretty pretty non-physical game. I mean, there wasn't a minor penalty until, I believe, the third period there, or it was late in the second period when Evander Kane got the interference penalty. So it wasn't exactly that physical of a game. After that, I mean, it started with a bang tonight's game, and then it was a bit of a kind of back and forth, you know, odd man rush type of game. and there were shots, but weren't that many good scoring chances. And really, the Islanders had more great scoring chances early in the first, and then midway through the second, and then really when Evander Kane ran Al Montoya and knocked him out of the game, that kind of changed the entire complexion of the game. It all of a sudden became a game, really. And the third period was really well, and it turned pretty good, and it turned out to be a pretty close game with a lot of chances there in the third. And once again, this is a game where you get a point and you move on, because they've got the Habs and the Penguins coming up.
Well,
and that's really what they have to focus on.
The question I have for you, though, is what did you think of the hit that Kane laid on Montoya? Because from my point of view, it didn't even look like Kane made any attempt to get out of the way, of the goaltender. I mean, I can understand that his legs are churning and he's going hard towards the net. And, I mean, I'll have to look at a replay again to see whether he was pushed, into Montoya or if he just drove in himself. But upon first reflection, I thought that he had driven at the net hard and that it was a justifiable penalty.
Yep.
He didn't think so because he was, fairly vocal in his when he was speaking to the ref after the fact, but I thought it was a penalty.
Oh, it was definitely a penalty, and the NHL will be looking at it. Whether or not he's going to get a suspension or a fine remains to be seen. But when you're Vander Kane, one of the fastest guys in the league, you're going full speed. You got to hold up. And if you look at the replay, he even got his stick up. And obviously, Montoya was injured. The wind was knocked out of him big time. So you have to hold up there. I realize Evander Kane, that's his game, driving to the net, using that outside speed. But you definitely have to hold up. And I won't be surprised if he's fined. I might be a little bit surprised if he's suspended, because Kane doesn't have a track record of 30 plays.
They might just
take a look at it. Just like Bogo, Zach Bogosian, when there was the hit on...
Cody Eakin?
No, it wasn't Cody Eakin. Pierre-Marc Bouchard, thank you.
The first one was Eakin, where he had the hearing.
Right. And so that might be a situation where they just look at it and they say, okay, upon further inspection, this doesn't warrant a suspension, but we're going to give you a warning, that type of thing. Slap on the wrist really is what a fine is in today's NHL, right?
All right, let's go back to the scoring summary. In the second period, Grabner puts the Islanders ahead. He scores, it was a point shot from Hamonic, and the rebound was just sitting there. It seemed like it was a pretty... lax coverage on the rebound.
Yeah,
I think I think Bogosian was beat on that. Yeah. I mean, there were 100 Hamonic followers in the crowd. Everybody was, he was pumped to be playing in, he's St. Malo, Manitoba. I earlier referenced him as a Manitoba, as a Winnipeg boy.
Yeah, and I got some Twitter hate.
Twitter corrections from the country folk in Manitoba.
A twerection. That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. Nope. But the point is that the crowd was happy to see Hamonic. He took a shot. He actually got hurt on a play in the second that on an icing call, and he was able to actually go off the ice because the Islanders had been called for icing. But he was looking a little bit worse for wear. I don't remember. There was a collision. I don't remember with whom. But he played actually a fairly solid game. He was pretty aggressive. He played
Hamonic. I remember in the first period, Tanner Glass was rushing the puck into the ice, and Hamonic laid a big hit on
Hamonic
him.
Left him on the ground.
He put him on his ass, and that was one of the first times that I've seen Tanner Glass get knocked down like that. And then, all right, okay, relax, you guys. And then the tying goal scored by Andrew Ladd. It was Andropov entered the zone, passed it to his left, and Ladd has that quick release, and he just beat Montoya on the top left side. Did you think that was a goal Montoya should have had?
No, I didn't, actually. I thought it was a nice shot. He beat him clean. It was a top corner shot. And, hey, guys, Andrew Ladd is cash money lately. 4 game-winning goals. He had the game-winning goal against Anaheim, as we know. Tied it up. He's Mr. Clutch. He gets the goals when they're important. I don't think you can overstate that at all. He's getting the job done, and I know people are giving him a little bit of flack. He's only got, I guess, 16 points, doesn't have that many assists. But you know what? He's been bouncing around from line to line, and I don't think he's been playing that bad during this homestand, this 6-game homestand or the last 5-game homestand. So I think that was a really nice goal. He beat Montoya.
And a little top cheddar with the with the wrister.
Yeah,
his wrist shot's been pretty good lately. I actually have been impressed with Ladd. I thought he's played fairly well. He obviously doesn't have a tremendous amount of speed. He's responsible. He occasionally does some things that you're kind of sitting there left puzzled, watching, because he'll lose his guy. Like, he'll lose his player and he won't realize, and he'll try and leave a puck behind, and then it'll, cost him. The only thing about that line I think that I noticed what cost them, I think it was in the first period, was that they occasionally will play too long a shift. And they look gassed. Yep. And so I think we were tweeting, and I said, this line's absolutely gassed. Like, what's going on? And then what ends up happening is
right.
a goal, right?
And, and like you said, Dave, on that line, you don't have the best – it's not the best skating line. That line is in at their best when they're in the corners capitalizing on Antropov's size and Wellwood's stick handling ability. So I think you're right. I think they're still learning as a line, but I think that's going to be your permanent second line. Burmistrov, I'm a little bit worried, because once Little comes back, you expect Kane, Little, Wheeler to be reunited, and then Burmistrov is a little bit a man lost. Let's be honest, Burmistrov hasn't been that great as of late. I mean, he struggled. He has flashes, but he's still struggling, and that's part of him having to basically, play with... His best was with Antropov, and he hasn't played with Antropov in a while.
You know what? I agree with you. I agree and I disagree. The one thing I will say is the problem with a player like Burmistrov is he needs the minutes. And so for him not to play a significant number of minutes, he's stuck playing. If he's playing on the fourth line with, Stapleton and Fair, it's a waste of his visibility. I mean, he's playing like 5 or 6 minutes.
I agree with you.
You can't allow – he's too young, and he's still developing, and he needs that opportunity to keep playing with – talent. So, I mean, look, we saw in the second period of the Anaheim game, he had a beautiful goal to give the Jets the lead, in that second period when Little didn't come back and he took over his spot on the line. And I really think, this line is going to take some time to get used to each other, because now you're going to lose Little speed, and you've got Burmistrov, who's a little bit like Kane in the sense that, he's a bit of a play, he likes to handle the puck.
Yep.
Likes to have the puck. But the thing about Burmistrov's game that I love is I love his physicality.
Yep.
Because from a guy his size, you're not expecting that sort of, initiation of contact.
Yep.
Generally, a guy, okay, fine, he might be able to receive it, but he initiates contact oftentimes and gives it pretty good. He's not bouncing off of guys. He's making people bounce off him. So I like Burmistrov's game. I just think that he needs he needs more minutes to be able to fully develop the type of player he could be. And the problem is, I agree with you, you've got Kane, Wheeler, Little. You can't bump those three because those three are all playing exceptionally well together. Hopefully, we don't know how much longer Little will be out with the injury to what we suspect is his ankle.
It's not long term.
No, I don't think so. But we got a day to day, which is from Claude Noir. That could be anything.
Yeah.
But the point is that so if you're not playing Burmistrov with that line, and then you've got Wellwood, Antropov, and Ladd on that second line. And then you've got this quasi the MSG line, if you will. Then Burmistrov's stuck on the third line. I mean, on the fourth line. And the problem is, he's too talented a player to be stuck and
the guy that you think has to come down, and we've talked about this on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show before, is Wellwood, because Burmistrov adds more physicality. Except is he naturally a right winger there? And that's where, Richie P. I know wants Burmistrov to become a centerman, but he unfortunately prefers the left wing when he is on the wing. So that's a problem that Claude Noel is going to have to work out. Maybe not a problem. Maybe that's a good thing. But they have to have Burmistrov going. He hasn't been good in the last few weeks.
All right, going ahead to the third period. Jets had more shots than the Islanders, 14-9. But it really didn't seem like the Jets had many quality chances. It seemed like they were taking a lot of shots.
You know what? That third period, honestly, from I'd say about the 16-minute mark on, it felt like both teams were playing to get to the overtime.
Yep.
I really felt like I was watching the game. Neither team was taking had a tremendous number of chances, but we're left watching as we were watching from the press box, thinking to yourself, are both teams just playing for the single point, and then whomever gets the extra point, it's a bonus? But I don't know. I just was left with that feeling watching the game. What about you?
Yeah, I thought the two best chances, in no particular order. Nito Niederreiter had a pass through the middle of the slot, and Andre Pavlik made a nice pad save, and then also P.A. Parenteau and that line, the Matt Molson, John Tavares line, they had a chance. The Jets had a few chances there, mainly coming from the Ladd, Antropov, and Wellwood line, but there wasn't a lot of offense created. I mean, they had some shots, and Evander Kane, that line, the top line with Burmistrov and Wheeler, they had some chances, but really that line never came together, and that's not who you want on that top line. So, I mean, it was a decent finish there for the Jets. They kept it close, obviously, but it wasn't their best offensive output.
Right. P.A. Parenteau was actually, I never really seen him play before. He was one player who impressed me. I thought that he showed a lot of speed and they had a lot of chances.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to play with John Tavares for those two
guys.
Yeah,
first of all, Tavares was fantastic. The other thing, that the other person who deserves some kudos was Nabokov.
Yep.
I mean, he hasn't played a lot lately. Montoya's been the man.
Got the win.
Yeah, but I think he hasn't... I think
didn't let any goals in.
No, I know, and that's the thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And he played very strong, and he came in cold, right? And he has, like I said, Montoya has played, I think, 9 of the last 10 or 11 games for the Islanders.
10 in a row, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Starts.
So the point is that you've got Nabokov coming in when you've got their goalie going down, and he comes in and he played it fairly... I mean, again, it wasn't like the Jets dominated. It wasn't like the Jets had 1,000 chances on him. I what were the final shots? I think it was like 30...
Nabokov came in the second period, faced total of 19 shots in the third and and overtime. In the overtime period, Jets had 5 shots to the Islanders, too. I thought the Jets had... I think one chance, there was a pass to Enstrom in the slot, which was probably their best scoring chance.
Right, Reem, and you know, just to clarify what Dave said, the Jets did outshoot them in every period except the first, but we've said this a lot of times, especially on the Legal Curve, shots are not really indicative of what team played better. I mean, I think we'd all agree the Islanders came in here and they played a better game.
Yeah.
The Jets got some shots, but, you know, when you have guys like Kane and Byfuglien and you get a lot of shots from the point, you know, Bogosian likes to shoot. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean you could easily pad your stats, and that's not taking anything away from the Jets. This wasn't a stinker like other games that we've seen. I mean, this wasn't the game early in October against Florida. They didn't play that bad. I mean, if you want to give, you know, a ranking, I'd say the Jets gave probably a 5 out of 10 here, whereas, you know, that earlier game in October, which even against the home opener against Montreal, those were, you know, 1 or 2s out of 10. They did show spurts in this game, especially coming from the you know, once again, I sound like a broken record, but the Ladd, Antropov, Wellwood line was the only line that really created offense on a consistent basis. The MSG line, we haven't even talked about this, but Antti Miettinen, I mean,
he was okay. I thought he was pretty good, actually.
It's his first game. I mean, but offensively, I mean, I still think that Thorburn, Glass, and Slater together, you know, obviously the GST line coming together, I think they're able to work better at a unit. And I thought at times Antti Miettinen looked a little bit lost.
A little lost, yeah.
And that's to be expected in his first game. But, you know, that's part of it, Dave. I mean, when you're, you know, trying to get as many wins as you can, even when you're coming off a good win against the Ducks, throwing off your line like that, I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily the best decision. Then again, I'm not the coach, but, I mean, I'm just making observations, right?
Yeah, further to your point about the type of shots the Jets are making, Pavlik said, and again, the listeners will be able to listen to the audio with him after, is the fact that he said you can't win with those kind of shots that we're taking.
Right.
So, I mean, the goalie, who's as far from, you know, the Islanders goalie as anybody on the ice, can see the type of shots that the Jets players are taking and realize that you're not going to win the game by taking those types of shots.
Looking at the shots, I know Kyle Wellwood had 4 shots, which is actually the most shots that he has had all season. But a lot of those shots, he was shooting it from the half boards, and it just really, his shot basically...
Yeah, and you know what, Reem, that's good to see that he's shooting, even if he doesn't have the best shot, and they might be a little bit from the outside. But the line played well. I think that line, it really works together, but I think it could be even better with Burmistrov, because I think Antropov and Ladd are playing very well. I mean, you know, Antropov was really good at the beginning of the year, but I really think Andrew Ladd right now, you know, with the exception of Evander Kane and Blake Wheeler and then Brian Little, who's obviously out, I think Andrew Ladd's one of their top forwards, and I think you got to play to your strengths and get Burmistrov on that second line on the wing. Even if he might not be his natural position because of his shot, I think, you know, you got to play to your strengths.
Okay, nothing's decided in this game in overtime.
Right.
We go to the shootout.
Yep.
The first shooter for the Jets is Blake Wheeler.
Right.
Now, I do like the decision to put in Blake Wheeler. I did an article on, you know, who the best shooters are career-wise. Yep. I think he's shooting maybe 30% now in his career, so I but he misses. The next.
Well, that's because he had nobody to pass to.
Right. Yeah.
Believe it or not, he does have good career shootouts.
No, assists. I know.
But the next shooter for the Islanders, who was it, Grabner?
P.A. Parenteau went first.
And scored. Yeah.
And then Franz.
He went top. He went top corner.
Franz Nielsen won it. Another guy who is above 55%, close to 60% shootouts. But Reem, I mean, you're right. Blake Wheeler's been good in shootouts, and Kyle Wellwood's been good in shootouts. And it's funny. Sometimes coaches will pick players that have had good games. Other coaches will always pick the guys who have the best stats going into the shootout. And that's what Coach Noel has done. I think the Jets have only been in three shootouts, including this game. And you know what? I don't have a problem with picking Blake Wheeler. The only thing I might say is maybe go with Andrew Ladd first, because he had probably the best game, with the exception of maybe Nick Antropov. Antropov and Ladd were their best forwards.
Coming to the season, when they signed Kyle Wellwood, he became their top shootout, and Andrew Ladd is also up there.
Yep.
But one thing to note, Andrei Pavlich in his career is historically really not good at shootouts at all.
Nope.
And he really
let in
got
two goals.
Is he only three
in shootouts?
No, they won one in Florida.
It seems like the book on Pavlich is to go top left corner.
Or top right corner.
And they went went both.
And once again, guys, I mean, it's a shootout is a skills competition. I just don't take it seriously. I think I'll say this time and time again, and the reason why you can back this up with more stats about why the shootout is useless, home teams actually lose more shootouts than the road team.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. So I mean, I'm really anti shootout here, and I'm going on a bit of a rant. But
wait, are you anti shootout or anti shootout?
I'm anti shootout. I'm unky shootout. Yeah, no. I mean, I don't like the shootout. As far as I'm concerned, you can't overanalyze it too much. I guess you don't have it in the playoffs. So why do you have it in the regular season? That's what I'm always going to say.
All right. Well, the Jets lose a squeaker, 3-2 at MTS Center. We'll be back here Thursday night when the Jets have a rematch from the first game with the Habs. I think we can expect a much better performance on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And a much better performance from Ezzy and Dave, who will be heading back to the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Heading back to the podcast?
Yeah, we're going to do two more because Drew's
going to
be in Kentucky, and Richie's going to be doing
in Vegas.
Vegas.
So we'll be back. I think we're getting our, Wellwood, Antropov, Laline. We're getting our chemistry here. I think we'll
say we're like the GST line.
We're the GST line. We're not the MSG line.
Yeah.
Until we go for Chinese
food
on Christmas Eve.
I don't like that. You can't just start adding things
into
here.
No MSG chants. I think the crowd will be more into it Thursday.
That's the other thing, actually. It's, we need some more GST chants. I mean, the crowd likes that.
Hopefully they'll be reunited. We'll see what happens.
From our lips to your ears, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll see you again on Thursday. That was the first part of the podcast. Let's head to the second part. Dave and Ezra, as per every game, head into the team's respective dressing rooms. Let's first go to the Jets' dressing room to get some reaction from the players. First up, we have the goaltender, who was awesome for the Jets tonight. Here he is, Andrei Pavlich.
Big game for us, but we got a point. But I don't think we played well in the first period. And just lucky goals there. But I think we set the record in to shoot the puck from the boards with no rebound in front of the goalie. I think we just threw the pucks away in their zones, and easy saves for goalies, but we're practicing that, and I think in third period we had those 15 shots like that. We're not going to score from there. But it was a battle. We battled hard, and we did a great job on a PK, and we didn't have power play tonight, but I think we had a slow start, but then we scored a goal from the traffic. That's how the goals are. I mean, I don't know. Tough loss, but tomorrow's another day.
How frustrating is it? You mentioned the start to the game, and it seemed like it never really got going. Just how frustrating was that tonight after the day off and the good day of practice?
Well, your job is to be ready, right? So we got to be ready for the game, and it's no excuses there. We had a day off. We had a good practice yesterday, and we should be ready tonight. But I think it wasn't that bad game. I mean, we battle, not a loss like those close games. We have a win. You don't score like if you're gonna score from the boards. It's no way the puck's gonna go in. I mean, so we gotta be better next time around their net.
Only your second shootout of the year. Do you enjoy them at all?
I think it was third one, but enjoy. It's part of the game. It's something you're not going to change. And now we lost, so it's probably I'm going to say I don't like them, but it's part of the game. It's nothing what I can do. What's that? Well, I don't know. I mean, that's my job to make a save. But, I was tough.
Next up, we'll go to the guy who scored the first goal of the night for the Jets, Nick Antropov.
We knew it was going to be a tough game, and it was. Our execution wasn't there, you know, tonight. So, I mean, at least get 1 point. So that's you know, probably the good thing we got it. But as I said, that was a tough game for us.
Andre was limiting the number of shots, I guess, that you guys took mostly from the wings and not to the net.
Yeah, well, as I said, we didn't execute well. You know, all the shots was from outside. We didn't get much in front of the net, you know. Managed to score a couple of goals, but it was enough for the win.
Uncharacteristic of how many opportunities you guys gave up as well. Is there also doing that?
Well, you know what, they didn't give us a lot, you know. They played a really solid defensive game in their zone, and you got to give them credit for that. But as I said, our execution wasn't there tonight. So.
Any reason for the slow start tonight from your team?
No, I guess we're going to look at the video tomorrow and see what's going on.
Here he is, the captain, and he scored the game-tying goal for the Jets, Andrew Ladd.
A game like this, it just shows how hard it is going to be to make the playoffs. Like, it's going to be really tight all season for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy games. I don't, you know, care where a team's at in the standings. You know, every team is a threat, and you know, we saw that tonight. They work hard. They get skill up front, and they can, you know, they can hurt you. So I thought we were too loose defensively, and made Pav, you know, come up with too many big saves, and in the end, they came back to bite us.
Wander said he didn't know if you guys had won a point or lost a point tonight. How do you feel?
Well, I mean, I think you lose. I mean, especially right now in this tight race, you want to take advantage of, you know, these types of games and win the close ones. But at the same time, I guess it's better to have one than none, and we can move on and look forward to Montreal now.
The concern about the consistency for you guys right now, you have a lot of
opportunities. Well, I mean, we obviously want to be a lot better. I don't think it's a concern. I think we understand what we need to do here defensively, and we just need to sharpen up, so we will do that on Thursday. Yeah, I thought we played a lot of chances, you know, throughout the game. We were able to get some cycles going and get pucks to the net and create some stuff. So, you know, it would have been nice to have one more and put the game away. Yeah, I think that was a big part of our start was just, you know, we weren't skating. You know, we get the puck in the neutral zone and we'd be standing still, and instead of moving our feet and getting in, you know, getting the puck in and getting on their D and really, you know, pressuring, it's a big part of our game. And when we're at our best, we're everyone skating and as a group of five. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, lately we've been playing some fairly tight defense and pep. You know, tonight, especially early, I thought he had to make way too many odd man rush saves. But at the end of the day, he still gave us a chance to win, too, and you still got to take advantage of that. Yeah, I mean, I still think we, you know, it's a tough one because I thought we had enough chances to put one in, and, you know, Nabokov came in and played well there. But, you know, It's nice to get the 1 point. It's better than nothing. But at the end of the day, it's you know, we're in such a tight race that you need the 2 points.
Lastly, this defenseman leads the league in block shots. Here he is, Mark Stewart.
I mean, we were kind of trading chances the first two periods. It was back and forth. You know, I don't think we played a great game. We were playing well in the offensive zone, but we weren't playing well in our defensive zone. We were giving them too many chances.
How'd you feel going into this?
Well, I mean, I felt confident. You always feel confident. You know, you expect your team to come out with a win in overtime and in a shootout, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
Did their speed give you guys some problems? Is that part of the issue, do you think?
Yeah, they definitely use their speed. I mean, they get some quick guys up there, and They were pushing pucks behind us and making us turn all night, which makes it for a long night.
But they had on Nielsen look like a clean hit to us.
Yeah, I mean, I thought so. I saw that he was in a vulnerable position, and I didn't target the head at all, so I thought it was clean.
You think players have to fight after that? I know you don't mind fighting, but...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's important to respond, I think, and, you know, they wanted to respond to the hit, so I feel like you have to give them an opportunity to do so.
He's talking about responses in the draft coming in here on Thursday. Can you just talk a little bit about that and preparation for another week?
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, we got two very tough games coming up, and we need to finish strong before the Christmas break. We wanted to start tonight off on the right foot. Got a point, but not the two that we wanted. It's going to be a tough game on Thursday.
I know that every loss is a loss, but do you guys feel like this was a bigger opportunity loss considering how tight the standings are and the fact that Ottawa did win the game?
Yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity for sure. Points that we needed that were very important against a team that we need to keep behind us. And I think it's a missed opportunity for sure.
Now let's head to the Islanders' dressing room. Here he is, St. Malo, Manitoba's own Travis Hamonic.
What was the game like tonight for you back home?
That was awesome. Can't wipe the smile off my face right now. It was probably one of the most memorable games that I've played and I've been a part of. And it's even better that we came in and got the 2 points. And I'm pretty excited to go see my family and friends right now after these interviews.
What makes the big difference tonight? It was a battle right to the end.
Well, I think we turned the puck over a little too much than we're usually accustomed to. But, guys just kept battling and showed great resiliency. And, you know, the crowd got going and there was a lot of momentum shifts in the game. But as the game wore on, we just had to keep wearing them down. And obviously we did that.
Talk to me about the hit on Montoya. Were you concerned about that? Did you see anything?
Honestly, I didn't see it, but I have to see the video again. But we've seen a lot of those lately, and that's all I can really comment, I guess, about that.
Ça t'en penses maintenant, premier match ici à Winnipeg devant tes amis, ta famille, comment c'était, comment tu t'es senti?
Ah ben, je suis pas mal content. J'étais un peu nerveux au commencement du jeu, puis je pense après mes premiers deux ou trois coups sur la patinoire, j'ai eu une chance de me calmer un peu, puis je pense que j'ai bien joué ce soir.
Il y avait du bon dans le monde de Saint-Malo ici à Port.
Oui, j'aime beaucoup. Je pense au fin du match, il y avait presque 100 personnes ici. So, c'est beaucoup de personnes, de famille, puis mes amis de sud du Manitoba, puis ils sont tellement fiers de moi. Puis je suis content qu'on avait une chance de jouer ici, puis on a gagné.
Parle-moi du match maintenant, une victoire, c'était bien.
Oui, c'est deux victoires en fil sur la route. Puis je pense qu'on joue bien depuis les dernières 3-4 semaines. Puis on veut continuer à jouer comme ça.
Merci.
C'est
your second year in the league. Personally, you've getting more points a lot lately. You feel more comfortable in your second year?
Yeah, and I'm feeling more comfortable. But with comfortability comes, pressure and responsibility. And you got those expectations a little bit that get put on you by yourself and by the other people in the media. But maybe I didn't get the start that I necessarily wanted to, but I was still playing solid. But, especially in the last 10 games or so, I think I've chipped in with 5 or 6 points. So puck's starting to go in for me and starting to get those bounces. But most importantly, I think I'm playing really good and sound defensively. And that's my bread and butter, and that's what's most important to me.
What did you think of this game? Because it looked like it was going to be a 6-5 game, a high-scoring game after the first period. Did you get a sense that everything settled down after the first 20?
Yeah. After we had talked in between the second and third there, first 20 was pretty crazy. You watch a lot of hockey games in this barn, and that's how it is because the crowd is so energetic and so into the game. And feeding off that energy. But as the game went on, I think both teams settled into play a little bit and limited the amount of turnovers that were happening. And ultimately we wanted to just stick to our game plan and play full 60 and thought we did a pretty good job.
What did you think of Nabby? I mean, coming in cold like that.
Well, I'm not a goalie and I couldn't imagine coming in cold like that, but I thought he played a great game. He gave us an opportunity to win and was stellar in the shootout, so can't ask for anything more.
4 points out of 4 points in a 2-game mini road trip. Can't get much better than that, huh?
I know, the smile on my face with one tooth probably says it all. This is good hockey we've been playing lately, and most importantly, we've got to make sure that we keep the ball rolling here.
to make it extra special to pick up an assist in front of the...
I was hoping it was going to go in. I think it hit the post, and I was joking with Grabner after he was going to let it go in, but hit the post, and I was happy. It's got your name called a little bit, and like I said, my family and friends are probably ecstatic right now, and I'm very proud of me, and I'm looking forward to going to see them.
Did you hear them up there at all?
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't really hear them. During the shootout, you'd look around, and you can see very few Islander fans get up and start cheering, so you could tell it was them.
Now we'll get to hear from former Manitoba Moose, Michael Grabner.
Mike, coming home with coming back to Winnipeg, how's it feel to come out of here with a win?
It was good. It's a tough start. Obviously, the crowd were right into it for them, and just tried to play a smart game in the beginning and kind of calm down the storm, but it worked out good.
Yeah, to shoot a win in Minnesota on Saturday night, to shoot a win tonight, what does that do for your confidence in your team right now?
It's big. We lost, we were 0-6 for overtime and shootout, so it's nice to get the extra points here. They're going to be big down the line, so we've got to win our games.
Next road game in New York at MSG, obviously a critical one for you guys.
Yeah, we just got to climb back in the race here, so every point, every game counts for us, so just going to try to recover tomorrow and get ready for that game.
How about you individually tonight? Was there a little bit of nerves coming back to this home crowd or your old home crowd?
A little bit in the beginning, but that goes by pretty quick, so I just tried to focus and be ready for the game.
What was going through your head there when they showed you up on the video screen and mentioned that you played in Winnipeg?
I actually just saw it quick. I just came off a shift, so I was a little tired, and I just saw the end of it, but it's nice. Fans are great here, so it's nice to come back and obviously nice of them for doing that.
Lastly, always exciting to hear from the coach. Here is Jack Capuano.
Jack, I thought it was a yeoman effort on your team's part tonight, coach.
It was, you know what? It was a good hockey game. I thought both goaltenders really played well. Unfortunately, Al got hurt, but Nabby came in the third and did a great job. And Nabby did a great job in the shootout for us as well. So for us tonight, the way our identity is and the way our team is, we have to have all 20 guys play, and tonight we had that. We didn't have any passengers.
Talk to us about Montoya. How's it doing?
You know what? I haven't gotten an update on Al or David Ullstrom up until this point yet.
Did you see the hit?
Yeah, I watched it on the video. He cut in, it's tough for a player when he's cutting in with that kind of speed. I don't think he did it on purpose to go in there the way that he went in. He tried to cut to the net, but when you look up and the goalie's right there, it's tough to stop. So hopefully Al will be all right.
Coach, I know you won the shootout tonight, but would you prefer there to be a 4-on-4 overtime, or are you in favor of the shootout?
No, I think we get asked that question all the time, but it's what the fans want. And I think that the fans of the National Hockey League really enjoy the shootout, so... we haven't had much success. We were 0-4-2 going into Minnesota at the end of regulation, so it was good to get back-to-back shootout wins.
Tough arena to play in?
Great arena to play in, great atmosphere. Diehard fans here, it's really loud. So, it was a good atmosphere for our guys, too. And like I said, we were fortunate to come out tonight with 2 points, but I thought both teams played well.
Do you feel like your team maybe should have won the game regulation?
We had some chances. There's no question that when we go back and look at the video, their goalie made some tremendous saves. I know our guys did too, but there were three or four that he came up real big for them.
It's two in a row. It's been a tough start to the season, but do you think things are starting to click now?
We gave some games away. We had some teams on the ropes, and we gave some games away. And right now we've talked about we might have to win 1-0 or 2-1. In the games that we play, and we got to think defense first, and we got away from our game a little bit. But hopefully they can get the confidence here after these couple games, and go into New York and play a good game against the Rangers.
Are you going to want the NHL to take a look at the Vander Kane's?
I never comment on those things.
Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post game podcast. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/illegalcurve. You can tweet at us anytime @illegalcurve. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and have it sent to your iPod each and every week. We'll be with you again on Thursday. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.